This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 8th of May, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. It's a Man Down Mashup Wednesday show. Mr. Newry is making his way to studio, which means I get to talk about what I want to talk about until he gets here. So we do a little quick housekeeping. And then we're going to start touching the newspaper. Let's see what's in the news. Over the course of the 2 hours this morning, if there's space, I'd like to talk a little bit about BPL. I have a story on credit reports. I'm going to ask a couple of questions around that. Then the taxi drivers turned off by fare sharing with customers in new app. And then, of course, questions for the FNM convention. A quick housekeeping note, a save the date, actually. Save the date. May 25th, Hannah Hasty Tynes is going to be hosting a jumble sale. So we're saying to all HHT family members, if you got something in your house that's nice, but you tired of using it, or you have no use for it anymore, but it is still in working condition, used books, used clothing, used cutlery, utensils, things like that. We have in a jumble sale, and we're asking all HHT members to pitch in. Save the date, May 25th. Now, there are two stories on the top of today's newspapers that are going to touch on today. There's a couple. I have not missed the story in today's Guardian. Bahamas recognizes Palestine as a state. I would like to carve out some time in tomorrow's show to discuss that with my guest, Alicia Wallace, who had a letter to the editor, I think in yesterday's Tribune, or the day before, addressing the fact at that point in time that the Bahamas is the only CARICOM state to not recognize, to not have recognized Palestine as a state. Yesterday, we saw a release, a press statement from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs indicating that the Bahamas has finally done so. I'm going to include in that discussion tomorrow a letter by 12 Republican senators addressed to the ICC. A very interesting letter. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Here are the numbers to call to join today's discussion. 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259-422 GR96. That's 422-4796. I'm going to take up this story in the Tribune first. Save dolphins after eight die. There's also the Eleuthera Shantytown story. I think I'm going to wait for Mr. Newry to get here to delve into that. and the FNM convention, aka leadership race, because it seems that politics is all about who is in charge in this country. Here we go. Save dolphins after eight die. Living nightmare as five more suffer at Blackbeard's Key. I remember discussing this story multiple times over the last couple of years. Let's get into the article. The Bahamas was yesterday warned it faces a, quote, PR nightmare, close quote, and severe tourism backlash unless it saves the five surviving dolphins at an abandoned project off New Providence's north coast. Rick O'Barry, the Dolphin Project's co-founder and director, told Tribune Business, that, quote, genie is out of the bottle, close quotes, with, quote, thousands, close quotes, purportedly voicing outrage and threatening never to return to the Bahamas after his organization posted details about the earlier deaths of eight dolphins at the former Blackbeard's Key development. That story continues in the business section, which is a different segment. Comparing the situation to food trucks prevented from entering the Gaza Strip and amid the ongoing Israel-Hamas conflict, the 63-year Dolphin veteran said his group is poised to provide the remaining dolphins with food, medicine, and upgraded facilities essential to their survival, but has yet to receive the government's permission to do so. Asserting that quick action by the Bahamian authorities is essential, Mr. O'Barry nevertheless said this nation can, quote, flip this around, close quotes, and turn negative publicity into positive by publicly pledging to rescue the survivors and transfer them to a purpose-built dolphin sanctuary, quote, close quotes, that is fully equipped to cater to their needs. Pledging that such a facility, quote, will not cost the government or Bahamian taxpayer anything, close quote, he added the Dolphin Project and its partners would handle construction and raise the necessary financing, as it had done in establishing a previous sanctuary in Bali. We'll move to page four. There's a whole lot of reading here, perhaps far too much for today's discussion. I'm going to go on just a little bit. Here we go. He and Sam Duncan, principal of the Bahamian environmental group ReEarth, told this newspaper that they have already identified a, quote, potentially perfect, close quote, sanctuary site near Rock Sound on Eleuthera's east coast that would need further assessment and significant work. However, they said it could be ready to accommodate the five Blackbeard's Key dolphins once they are stabilized at their current location. Jomo Campbell, Minister of Agriculture and Marine Resources, whose ministry has primary responsibility for the oversight and supervision of Bahamas-based dolphin attractions, did not respond to requests for comment before press time last night. Vaughn Miller, Minister of the Environment and Natural Resources, also could not be reached. The article continues extensively. This is but one-third of what is printed in today's paper, but I'm going to stick a pin there. I'm going to welcome Mr. Newry to the mic. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I hear.
Yes, I know how it is. The child left her glasses home. Mm-hmm. I had to turn back around and go and deliver that so she's able to sleep. See?
Right, because what's the point of being in school?
Yeah, what's the point of being in school if you can't see?
Me, I would have tried to be a different child and say, Daddy, I apologize. It's my fault, but there ain't no school today.
I have a child who would do that.
Yeah.
And just sit in the corner. Yeah. Say, man, you know I couldn't see. So I do no work today. So yeah,
that's true. I also appreciate a laborer that understands there's no sense in breaking yourself up if the working conditions are not suitable or up to standard.
Yes. Yes, I understand that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I understand that.
Labor rights.
And sometimes we need to create, I'm lobbying this, mm-hmm. me. I am officially lobbying for the government to create laws to prevent media from interrogating them about the government
okay,
business.
Okay, hold on.
I'm just saying
We can get to that.
I'm just that came up in my head.
Right. I know. No, but I'm saying is let me just say this thing to the government, and then we could get to lobbying for people like me to not say things. That's what you lobby for people. Yes. Anyway.
So you don't talk about our government. I get tired of you all doing it. So I just want to say I'm lobbying it from today, just in case you do it. Stop.
Okay. So we're talking about the Save Dolphins after 8 die at Blackbeard's Key. I don't know if you remember me pointing this, highlighting this story.
When we went to the Privy Council?
Right. Re-earth.
And that they won and nothing happened? No enforcement? That one?
Well, something happened.
What happened?
Under the FNM administration, the previous lawyer for the entity at that time responsible for the Dolphins, like before the ruling, became the Minister of Works, and then miraculously there was a site plan meeting for a site that had been ordered by the court to be restored to its original state before development. That happened, but nothing actually happened in terms of returning the Dolphins to their last point of embarkation. That's what they say in immigration, right?
Yeah.
Your last point of embarkation.
You just need to let them loose. They can find it. They will find it eventually.
Unfortunately, it appears as if the remaining dolphins are in such a state that it would be criminal, like against nature, to release them into the wild. And I think the intention is at the very least what's being lobbied for by Sam Duncombe, principal at ReEarth, and the principals at the Dolphin Project, is that they be allowed to intervene to attempt to restore the dolphins back to good health. And they have located a site where they just need approvals and permissions to begin reconstructing a proper dolphin sanctuary for the animals.
What do you mean restore to good health, though?
Well, I mean, it appears as if they're at the point of starvation.
You mean they're abused? Who left them to be starved?
When you acknowledge that neglect is abuse, yes.
But who did that? I mean, surely we need to call names. I mean, who would do that to a dolphin?
Well, I didn't pull up the notes because by the time I saw the headlines, I'd already moved away from my devices. But the ruling stated that the principals of Blackbeard's Key are ordered to return the dolphins to their original owners, leased them from or rented them from, or whatever the purchase agreement was. Just imagine we talking about wild animals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That the site be restored to its original state.
The site, I understand. Right. Neglect. I'm talking about the animals itself.
Right. I think the ruling ordered that the dolphins be returned to. There was a point where the people who were expecting the return of the dolphins were like, hey, what's happening? We see that there's a ruling that's been made public, but we see no action to enforce the ruling.
And what do you mean action to enforce? Who normally does that? Enforce the action, I mean.
Well, I imagine that a representative from ReEarth
would enforce the law enforcement?
Would call law enforcement and say, hey, we have a standing order and these people are not acting on it.
So did ReEarth call law enforcement? Do you know anything?
I don't know if they called, but I know that they lobbied. They took it all the way to the Privy Council. I've had Sam Duncan on the show to talk about it, the status of the matter.
So more than likely the police force knew about the ruling, because it's a big thing. And they were contacted more likely. And they decided not to enforce the law? And we are cool with that?
I want to find the correct language. Because when we say the police force, for a flash it suggests that every officer on the force was aware of the ruling.
Only one police officer is worthwhile. It's the commissioner of police. He's in charge. Everything falls on his back. He would be aware. You have an entire legal team. They do. They'd be aware.
One of the issues that I raised was, is the political sector aware of the conflicts of interest that arise through their political decisions, and do they feel a need to moderate themselves in the interest of good governance in the country? And the question was, well, I just pointed out that the justice that ruled on the matter is now the Chief Justice.
So the Chief Justice is aware of his own ruling, but did nothing afterward?
Well, the Chief Justice, of course, is aware of their own ruling. The question is was the justice at the time and now the Chief Justice aware of the status of the enforcement of the ruling? It's quite possible
that Re-Earth didn't go back and say, hey, what happened, and I'll put it in the newspaper, because everybody reads the first front page, everybody. And I'm sure our learned judges are quite aware of the social ramification, what happened, at least in the headlines.
Yeah. Later, we're coming to you right now, caller. Later in this month, I want to have a conversation about the role of public intellectuals, right, in small island developing states. And I want us to take a moment to critique, if possible, the contributions by the former Chief Justices and the current Chief Justice in the Eugene DePuch Law School Distinguished Lecture Series, right? And I think it's important to interrogate that.
Whether they're competent or not?
No, that's not what I'm questioning at all. I'm not questioning their competency at all, but I am questioning our attention to details and whether anyone is concerned that the justices were a part of a public discussion about a particular matter, and then shortly afterwards, the matter that they were addressing manifests in legislation, right, that was tabled in terms of jury and judge trials.
Mm-hmm. Coincidence. So you question their spatial awareness, where they are aware of what is happening in this country?
As well, but also whether this was a mechanism to circumvent a constitutional principle of separation of powers.
But our chief justices, coincidentally, have been working along with politicians in their own private law firms to get appointed, coincidentally, right? They all are socially aware of each other in terms of, I think they call it familia? What do you call it, family? They are technically family, right? Some of you would say incestuous in relations. Whatever, what all is happening inside of the Bahamas, I would dare say, all our learned people, our intellectual leaders, are quite aware of what is happening inside the Bahamas.
Pause.
And have decided either to ignore
Let's make a distinction between the political class and the intellectual class.
You don't
class.
Believe our political class is intellectual?
Has anybody published the presentations offered from the Return to Idealism Masterclass discussion that took place during independence?
You know,
did anybody find it worthy of publication?
That's because the people, the intellectuals who saw the people who participated in it, has not been intellectuals. They say, look at these people. At these people talking foolishness. And so that's why it was dismissed.
Let's stick a pin and go to the phone line. Good morning, callers.
Well, good morning, Darren and CA.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Now, let's not argue whether we have artificial intelligence or not governing us. You know, everybody would be aware of what's going on. And if those creatures can't fend for themselves and need food, and we're not feeding them. Well, you know, slight digression. We have leaders that have put TAX on our food. So, preventing a lot of us from eating the good, healthy, organic food. So, unfortunately, I wouldn't expect any different with, and if it is the case, not feeding God's creatures. But how you treat your elderly, your stray animals,
mm-hmm.
your sea creatures, in any country, and your graveyards, tell me if I want to live there or not. When I visit Sweden, and I see no stray dogs, I see dogs on a leash and fed, and anything in their waters treated well. Graveyards manicured. I want to live there. So this is a disgrace. And I'm quite sure that the much more most honorable Minister of Environment will step in and have, I don't know.
His portfolio taken from him? That's what I need to put on the list for Pintard and Minutes. Go on.
Well, they put tax VAT on poor people's good organic foods. So I don't even recognize that anymore. I'm looking for someone who's going to tell me they're not, when they're going to feed God's creatures. You know, it is abuse, in my opinion, to cage is abuse. Because he's used of roaming God's ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But to cage him, and if is the case, you don't feed him. And you can't release him because he didn't learn how to fight for food in
right.
the wild.
Mm-hmm.
So to release him is insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's like me taking somebody with no money and putting them in the middle of a desert without food or water. They're going to die.
That's like taking a young person who grew up in a state residential care and then ends up in Simpson Pen, and then you put them out into the world and expect that they just going to know what to do.
Correct. And so when I move about the country, I swim and go alongside dolphins in a boat from time to time. And I feel it is cage them. And I wouldn't even visit your country if you cage animals and talk, but I could swim with them. Please. So let's wrap this up. The much more most honorable Minister of Environment should step in today,
mm-hmm.
demand that somebody go in a boat and feed those animals. These are the smartest creatures in the world, first studied in Bimini. You know that, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey R. Davis taught me that.
Them and octopuses.
And yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Sharks and dolphins. So we should have the most utmost respect, and we could turn this frown upside down and let the world know that we actually care about our... You care about a turtle, right?
Yep.
A dolphin is a superlatively smarter creature. And if you are starving him, shame on you. And the government should jump in right now. Don't worry about the ruling's been done or not been done. You could send a boat out there to feed those...
Just get it done. Just do it.
Magnificent creatures, Aaron. Good show. Good topic. But please, don't debate the intellectual capacity of anyone that's been dealing with us, because they have not built us a hospital. They put tax on our food. They... discriminate in 2024. I can't go into casino. I can't have a U.S. dollar bank account. I can't trade stock in the world.
When you lose your money, it got to stay home. I don't want you to lose your money and it go out the country. That's all.
Well, see, that's another subject right there. But what if I want to save my U.S. dollars in my U.S. dollar bank account? What if I want to trade on the New York Stock Exchange with my U.S. dollars that I give? You know what? I can leave you all with this. I drive a taxi. Someone gives me $100. I put this $100 in a Canadian bank. When they send that money home, it becomes 130 Canadian dollars. They're making 30% on their money, but won't give me tea and biscuit. And when I go back to that bank with my 100 Bahamian that's in the account and say I want to go to Miami and get 100 U.S. dollars, they charge me a fee. How come they don't give me a credit, extra money, the same fee, foreign exchange, when I put the money in there? How come they don't give me $100.30? But I got to pay 130 to get it out, right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. This is logic. And you don't hear these debates in the house. Let me go, Aaron, because you know what?
Thank you, Graham.
Go feed your dolphins. Have a good one.
Yeah, man. You just give me a whole bunch of questions to put on the list. Questions for the FNM convention. Mr. Nuri, one of the first ones is going to be, do you think I'm a biscuit or a cracker? Do you know the difference?
Is there a difference?
There is a difference, sir.
We have a lot of crackers inside the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Yeah. A few biscuits.
We need more biscuits.
We need more biscuits.
Listen, there's a call coming in right now. I would think for this dolphin conversation, what is most important to me is a question or interrogation, assessment of whether this is another administrative crisis, a situation that could have been avoided.
But first, we need to acknowledge that there is an administrative crisis.
Yes.
We are saying that there isn't any. At least not us. They are saying that there isn't any. So what you are complaining about cannot be addressed because it doesn't exist.
Well, I tell you what, in the BPL story...
So this is an example of incompetence, not a necessarily administrative crisis. Someone dropped the ball and someone needs to be held accountable.
Absolutely.
But what will happen instead is that nobody will be blamed.
I hear one story about a boy named Nobody. You know?
Nobody.
Good morning, caller.
Scotty Day, this is Dark Universe along with you and New Year.
Morning.
Thank you.
We made justice, law, and order in the Bahamas here.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of, especially American money here in the Bahamas, right? Now, if I want American money to go away or anything like that, or sent away or anything like that to get something, right?
Right.
I go to the bank. The bank going to charge me
a fee for converting the money.
$5 5 cents on a dollar.
Five cents on a dollar, Raymond?
Yes. The bank. The banks.
So it's 50 cents for $10 and $5 for $100?
That's the way it goes.
That's a lot of money.
5 cents on a dollar.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm telling you. But if I get American money and I take it to the bank, they're not going to give me anything for it.
Because it's against the law for you to have American money in your pocket. You're supposed to turn it into the banks.
Ah, I see. That's stupid. We got to get rid of the Minister of Finance or whosoever responsible for finance in this country, because that's robbing the Bahamian people.
Thank you.
Okay?
Brian. Yes, sir?
That's not right.
Well, it's a question that needs to be, it's a question that needs to be put to our leaders.
What sort of question? Why is it happening?
Right. Why is it happening? Why is our dollar tied to the U.S. dollar, right? Why are we tied to the U.S. dollar, but the law still states that you're supposed to turn all your U.S. dollars into the bank?
That's crazy. And the central bank, supposed to fix that stuff. They're a bunch of nasty people also.
Well, listen, let's not go there, Bremen. That's very...
Yeah, but Aaron, it's wrong.
That's very broad. I would say that the policies that are currently in place seem to be devoid of...
Sir, I can't hear you.
Sorry, I would say that the policies in play, the laws, the rules, and regulations seem to be devoid of any consideration for the actual presence of citizens. It's like you...
They got to consider it, and you see, those people... I would say all of them in the household assembly, but those people think we stupid, think the Bahamian people stupid. Other thing is, right?
Okay, I got one more call.
The situation in Freeport, right?
Grand Bahama Port Authority?
Yeah. The thing is, the port owes the Bahamian people all that money. But the thing is, governments knew that from the get-go, and they still would put tax on us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
What kind of stuff this is?
Thank you, Bremen.
That's indecent.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Bremen.
Thank you.
But I want you to know I have your question on the list today. Do you think I'm a biscuit or a cracker, Prime Minister? And Prime Minister in waiting. And those who want to be prime ministers. Here's a couple of texts here. Why is it so hard for the Minister of Environment to make a decision on saving dolphins? Why do we have a Minister of Environment? The dolphins are illegal, ? No, the dolphins are not illegal because beings cannot be illegal. Humans cannot be illegal. Their captivity, the state within which they are captured in the Bahamas, is contrary to the current ruling of the court. You ask, why is it so hard for the Minister of Environment to make a decision? Ask yourself, why does it appear that prime ministers are appointing ministers responsible for the environment, but then removing portions of their portfolio from them? The text says, shocking, apparently this Blackbeard's Keating been a mess since 2013. Maybe even earlier than 2013. I didn't pull up those notes. According to the 2013 Tribune article, quote, former cabinet minister Charles Carter, one of the Blackbeard's key principals, told Tribune Business it would be impossible to conduct a project of such magnitude and visibility without all permits being in place, close quotes. You mean a project on a key? Anyway, Cousin Charles Carter has passed away now, and so I will take time to read this and gather the rest of my notes to address this at a later point. Good morning. Can you ask the F&M convention, during their convention, will they implement local government in Nassau? Yep, I got local government on the list. Text... Great show as usual. I bet you two chicken patties they blame the starvation of the dolphins on Minas. Well, let me tell you something, Texas. I'm willing to buy one of those chicken patties because you will be a winner. There is some blame, I think, held by the last administration. Mr. Nuri, I'm going to take this call, and then we're going to transition quickly to never fruitful to have media in your business.
That's something similar to what I was saying before.
Yeah, that's why I pause as the wind got caught in my throat. Yeah. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning to you, Ms. Green and Mr. Nuri. This is Alan Johnson.
How you doing?
Just a couple of things. Yes, local government's already on your province. Just read the Local Government Act. It's been there from the beginning. It only requires the minister to say, so be it. So, like, you know, it's like...
Full enactment of the law.
Huh? Yeah.
Full enactment.
Yes, right. The law is fully enacted. It says, subject to the minister's approval, just like gaming. So all the ministers, you have to go to the local government minister and get him on camera to say you could have it tomorrow, and then it happens.
Mm-hmm. Look at that, eh?
Right. So, but let's talk also about this whole concept of this foreign exchange. First of all, like, let me tell Graham, don't send your money to Canada. Why don't you send your money to Jamaica, where it's 157-1? Or why don't you send it to Turkey, where you could get 1,000,000-1? That whole concept about if I send my money to some other country, I get more of it, good. Go to Turkey, get 1,000,000-1. Send you $100, you'll have $1,500 in Jamaica, $1,570. That's crazy math, okay? The foreign exchange is only exists in the Bahamas in the minds of those that don't understand the system. If you have a debit card or credit card, you should go into the bank and ask them concerning your U.S. reserve or spending or whatever. It's a method of control. Most credit cards and most things, some of them have a U.S. cap already built into it. The concept of using cash running back and forth doesn't exist anymore. Remember, you should walk around trying to get U.S. dollars and everything. Everybody uses credit cards and debit cards and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the problem. Is that we haven't learned to fully utilize this digital barrier that's brought down this analog, antiquated wall that existed. You know, the concept of fintech and everything else.
See, Alan, I know what you're saying. Stick a pin. You ever prepared yourself to travel and then you remember that you have to go to the bank to let the bank know what your itinerary is so that you could be able to use your card while you're traveling?
No, I already went and satisfied that in advance and saying, look, I ain't no child, and it's your responsibility for security, and you don't put a limit on me because you failed to put
in
the security
system. Send me a template of that letter you sent to the bank because when...
No, I just went, into them.
When I went in to them, they gave me the impression that they were prepared to have security remove me from the building. After the trip to the bank to tell them I'm going away and give them the itinerary, and I went on the trip, I had to come, when I came home, I had to go back to the bank to ask them, why is it that after giving them my itinerary, they decided that I shouldn't be able to use my card abroad anyway?
Right. Well, see, again...
See, that's why I want U.S. cash why I want U.S. cash when I'm traveling.
But this is why we need to go to the central bank. See, let me use in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
There's a law that limits your liability for $50. The problem is here, the banks want you to put these limits for their protection, not yours, because they need to put certain things in a way. And then they punish you by virtue of trying to protect their self-interest. It's almost like they're saying, behemoths aren't smart enough to protect their PIN codes and access to their cards and all these other different things. So it is not, if you go to other countries that has the same rules and they use the same credit cards and seeing everything, the rules are already in place. If they just treat us as if we're retarded, and we have accepted it as the same. So when you go into the bank and you say to them, put in writing why you have restrictions on my card or something else. Once they know you know, they treat you differently. And so what happens, though, is the central bank, this is where the central bank and the consumer protection rules, or even the Consumer Protection Act, they should be moving these to protect the people rather than putting people as antiquated that doesn't understand the role of global commerce to make the arguments for us. We put family, friends, and lovers, maybe even a foreigner. But just quickly, let me say this. I know you have to go to your commercial. The prime minister went to Life and Key to talk about these walls that's up against behemoths. That is an analog mindset. Digitalization has brought down the walls because you could reach through these walls right now. Okay, like how you have the matrix, you could do things. The problem is that we have not been taught how to use those systems. It's the same thing. If behemoths was to understand what how fintech works, the banks in the Bahamas will close down because you will not need them for mortgages, you will not need them for loans, you will not be for any type of business loans. But that's the conversation we're not having. If Graham wants to have a conversation, tell Graham, don't talk around as if we are idiots, right?
See, Alan,
people to talk through these issues and exactly what it is to provide solutions that can be tested, verified, and authenticated.
See, Alan, I spent close to a year, just recently, close to a year, trying to get my internet service provider to acknowledge that they had a technical issue in my community. It took me close to a year and 7 pounds of cuss words just to get them to acknowledge and something that clearly existed.
Consumer protection, and this is also a failure of IRCA. IRCA is mandated to have some consumer education protection people, committees. They have never had it. Again, this is failure. Not the systems are there. We just don't know how to use it. It's kind of like putting a kid in the kitchen, your 5-year-old daughter, whatever. They don't know how to use the stove and everything else. What we need is competent leadership. This is what the problem is. We don't need to change anything. Because you've been using it incorrectly doesn't mean the system is broken.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Seattle.
Thank you so much.
Just before we go to a break, producer, let's prepare to go to the break. I got a couple of texts here. The first one, hey, Aaron, that bank policy has been updated recently. It depends on the security of the credit card. With the new EMV technology on the card, that restriction has been lifted. Especially since Visa and MasterCard have all but eliminated the use of swipe functionality on cards. Another text. Good morning, Aaron. What I do is put every U.S. money I get in my hands in a piggy bank. These shops hardly give U.S. currency in your change, so I save mine. If I'm traveling and need more U.S. currency, I do go to the bank. Okay, don't talk that no more in public because the law say it's against you're supposed to turn in all your U.S. to the bank, but I understand what you're saying. Also, I find that it's easier to find U.S. bills in areas that service predominantly tourists. Yeah? Yep. Obey's still on the book, so y'all stop drinking your bush medicine in odd numbers as well. Please, before Mr. Newry, call somebody. Okay. I got a text here that says, oh, this is the Minister Charles Carter text. The text has asked me to continue to read the entirety of the text for the 5 cents. Okay. Former Cabinet Minister Charles Carter, one of the Blackbeard's key principals, told Tribune Business it would be impossible to conduct a project of such magnitude and visibility without all permits being in place, close quotes. He further commented that he'd never been involved in anything illegal. And I've never heard of his name in any mix-up. But here's the problem. There's a difference between illegality and proper process, or legality and proper process. And we seem to do a lot of things out of order, and then lo and behold, when everything crumbled into a big mess, nobody know anything. Cue Haiti Bahamas relay team running under a Bahamian flag. We need to stop these decisions that bypass all the safety and procedural checks that were put in place to prevent big messes. All we get is mess. Well, listen, Nuri, you remember the headline a couple of weeks ago, the Prime Minister was speaking to the international community, talking about these, like, if I could paraphrase widely, like, compliance is what the Bahamas is due.
Mm.
We got that. You could trust us.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't talking to us Bahamians. He's talking to foreigners.
I just remember when we had a different press secretary, a different liaison, and say sometime our Prime Minister speak differently for foreign people. Than what he speaks.
In fact, I just want to remind the Prime Minister that Obey is still on the law books, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And what you did the other day must be the most fabulous, the most spectacular practice of Obey I have ever seen. With one mouth, one man with one mouth said two completely incongruent, not matching, ridiculously should not be in the same air at the same time statements. Rape is rape. Why you need to describe it? I have never seen a more spectacular display of Obey in my life, but I would like to remind the Prime Minister that even though he is from Cat Island, Obey is still against the law, and I'd appreciate it if y'all don't be practicing it, please.
Some behemoths like magic tricks.
Some do. Some don't even know what a magic trick is. It's those behemoths that I'm very concerned about. Guardian headline this morning.
Yeah. I got a text saying that the Guardian purposely misconstrued the headline.
Okay, let's read your text first before I read the headline.
Let me go into that right now because I found it funny. I should even call a person name, but I I like that. Okay, hold on. Let's see it right here. It says...
You want me to read it?
Yeah. Go ahead. All right, go ahead.
The Nassau Guardian is very misleading with their headlines, as always, and the subheadline, PM hits at media while addressing GBPA dispute, is very inaccurate. PM Davis never directed anything towards the media or never criticized the media during his speech. Clearly, the Nassau Guardian gasping for relevance. Okay.
Now I'll have it juxtaposed to what is actually said.
Never fruitful to have media in your business. Prime Minister Philip Davis said in Grand Bahama on Monday night, it is, quote, never fruitful or constructive to have the media engaged in your business, close quotes. As he answered questions put to him after a speech he gave to the Grand Bahama Chamber of Commerce in Freeport.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
He did say it.
Hold on. So that's what he said, and then that's what the Guardian printed in the as the headline.
Mm-hmm.
His words that are in quotation in the article.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Because that's different. See, that's different from when Minister Mario Boleg said, I specifically called for the audit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of disrespectful that you didn't bring me the final draft. That's different from that.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you said it, and then they took what you said and made it the headline. But that's, what did the text call that? After his speech, which focused primarily on the Grand Bahama Port Authority and what he termed its neglect of the city of Freeport, Davis was asked whether... He thinks the media conversations between the GBPA and the government are encouraging or discouraging investors who might be interested in investing in Grand Bahama. So the question was whether he thinks the media conversations between the GBPA and the government are encouraging or discouraging investors who might be interested in investing in Grand Bahama. Quote, it is never my intent to engage in any issue in the media, close quote, Davis said.
But it's a public discussion that they're having. All of what we are hearing has been made public by the government. And then, in turn, the Grand Bahama Ports Authority answers the government in the press. It's them who are having this conversation to do. No one is asking these things. This is a public row, a public feud.
Let me say this first.
Even the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party have his utterance about the same thing. It's not the media who's leading the charge. It's the government and the Grand Bahama Port Authority who is making this public for all this airing of dirty laundry.
Well, first of all, when you say dirty laundry, why would you use that term? Well, I would use the term airing of government procedures, airing of the actual relationship between these two governing entities.
And hence,
why would you call it dirty laundry?
And hence
it is what it is.
Why the media acts, is this a good thing that is happening right now? And then the Prime Minister respond, it's not good that the media always bucket into our affairs.
So, here's what I wanted to say. You just... Like you punched the words out of my mouth, sir.
Uh-huh.
Listen, first of all, what expectation of privacy?
It's the government's
does
business.
The prime minister
no, it's his
and the
business.
Government.
His business and whatever he does involved for the Bahamas is secret, and the media should not interfere.
Which I find funny because when he said "woman ruling us, man," that's his private business. I don't know why he brought that to the public. To be honest with you, that's your private business. That's the sort of thing you should keep to yourself.
You believe that his woman is ruling him?
I don't believe anything he says on the matter of gender violence and sexual violence. I just say it. But here's the question. What expectation of privacy does the PM and the government think, what do they have? And where would they have gotten, where would this expectation derive from? But secondarily, this is, I think, the more important question. What's the budget for the communications unit in the office of the Prime Minister? And what's the budget for the communications platform in the Ministry of Social Services, Information and Communication? And broadcasting and information.
In the millions of dollars.
Because they got a communication unit in there too, you know.
Yeah.
Right? You have these communication units.
Mm-hmm. Whole
you
outlet.
Have your whole, your own media outlet. On top of that, you got BIS.
Just going to say BIS
separately.
So
you got OPM communications unit. You have BIS. Mm-hmm. You have ZNS. Right? You mm-hmm. have, and then that's the government. Mm-hmm. Then you got your administration, party, media, mm-hmm. outlets mm-hmm. that remain
social media and
nameless. No, mm-hmm. they remain nameless, right? And you still cannot launch a media campaign about a particular issue. You can't disseminate information about what it is you're doing in a way that does not lead the media. I don't even want to say lead the media, that does not manifest dirty laundry. It's not us. There's nobody coming and sullying your laundry. It's your laundry.
You know what this likened me or remind me of? Once upon a time, we had a prime minister who said in the House of Assembly that we may have to break the constitutional law, something to that effect, or go against the constitutional laws.
The prime minister said, look here, you may have to ignore the constitution to run the country
and
properly.
And in the background, as he said that, two senior lawyers lifted their head up. He said, what you mean? You got to break the Constitution or forget the Constitution in order to enforce whatever it is. It reminds me of that at this present time where the Prime Minister said, we don't need media to be telling the people's business.
Imagine you gutted the media. Mm. You gutted both the formal journalistic space and you gutted the talk radio space. You gutted the media, mm-hmm. providing better opportunities for advancement and upward mobility for young professionals in the country, albeit I'm not arguing about that. But then to turn around and say it's never fruitful to have media in your business, why do you have all of the media in your business in the office of the Prime Minister then?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's good for you. Why is it not good for us? And why, with the communications mechanisms do you have available to you, are you unable to produce a narrative that withstands critical interrogation by the public and the media? I'm not going to talk about the opposition. Mm. I leave that for later because critical has to be applied correctly when we're talking about them. It's not what they think it means. I'm going to continue reading from this article for the last couple minutes. Let's go to the phone line. Sorry about that, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, CA.
Blessings.
Yeah, you all, I'm talking about the Prime Minister. CA, a couple of weeks ago,
no,
I asked you.
We're talking about this administration's approach to media and communications and the public.
Right. The government represents the people.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You all in the media. You're all behemoths, right?
Well, I ain't in the media. I ain't talk show host. I do entertainment, like and you do critical analysis.
Yeah.
So we are quasi
media. Talk show host is part of the media company that you work for, right?
No, no, no. This is radio. I do commentary.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM is like a subsidiary. It's a part of the Guardian family, but we're not a part of the Guardian newspaper.
Yes, okay. And we're reminded about that all the time, too.
Yes.
Often,
okay.
You're a mayor.
Okay, the media itself.
Yes.
Okay, that's better.
The people that work for the media itself, who question him,
mm-hmm.
they are citizens of Obama, all of them?
Primarily.
Primarily, because we have foreign staff also.
Okay, but the media, remember now, a company is a fictional citizen,
mm-hmm.
right? It's just like a citizen.
I mean,
right?
Listen, that's an American concept that a corporation is a place in. I rebuke it. I reject that. How could a corporation be a person and thus be entitled to the same rights guaranteed to people under a constitution?
Okay.
They could vote.
Corporations can't vote.
You should have read Dr. Arena's book, Toward a New Democratic Franchise. It looked at electoral reform in the Bahamas from late 17th through 1800s to 1900s to the present.
But the statement he made, that it never could, for the media to be in the business, never fruitful or constructive. Well, who's supposed to bring things to the people's attention?
BIS. BIS.
Okay.
Bahamas Information Services.
And then they have another corporation in government called BIA, Bahamas Investment Authority, too, right?
Yes, they do have a BIA.
Okay.
But they're not a media. They're not media.
Right, but what I'm saying, this is not a function of government, just like some corporation. Mm-hmm. But that corporation is supposed to be the gatekeepers for the human properties and foreigners having to abide by the law also. But I won't get into that.
Yes, because it's very complex. National Economic Council, Bahamas Investment Authority, all of that.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Same thing, right? I'm just timing that out to show you. Stay focused to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the media bringing things to our attention, the carbon credit money, did we ever hear if there was some collected or...
Ain't no money collected yet. I don't think so.
Okay, let's trust that it ain't collected, because I wanted to bring this up. That if they talk about these hundreds of millions of dollars, and someone said this to me on the weekend, that they understand it's collected, but it's being deposited in some foreign bank account. right? And if they just put in my bank account, because they said, too, that the Minister of Finance, and he's in charge of this and in charge of that, and it's vested in a bank account, and has been alluded to about these interest rates. And remember, if you put money in a foreign bank account, and interest is as accrued on that money, let's just say $100 million, and a 2%, that's $2 million per annum, right?
Yeah, okay, that's math.
Right, and let's say this talk being turned around, but before the Christmas, that some carbon credit money has been collected. So if they paid half of that, that's $1 million collected. And if they come now and bring that money home and they don't bring the interest, you think that interest would have been accrued there, whatever, so if we'll know anything about it?
Man, listen, there's a whole bunch of confusion we're talking right now. I don't want to get into that.
But all these interest rates and all these things you're talking about, you have to have a broad view. Your eyes wide open.
I'm not exactly sure what you're saying or what you're getting at. I don't want to be...
Aaron, hold on. I heard it was $1 zillion.
A zillion dollars
that we have collected for the carbon credits. 1 zillion. And that we're the richest country in the world. That's why
I heard so far. Thank you for your call.
Aaron, I hear him wanted to interrogate you of saying for interrogating his prime minister and his government earlier
I gotta hit the line and tell you why. Because that is what you call conjecture. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm taking what you're saying trivially. Right? But that's what you call conjecture. The best way to deal with what it is you have raised as a hypothetical situation is, right, for Bahamians to get up and start doing the work of being a part of governance in their own country. I mean, it's simple. It's time for Bahamians to use the civil society space to create mechanisms like organizations and groups that can make these assessments, collect the data, do the investigative work. I can't be calling no government ministry asking for information. Everybody know my voice. I'd be on hold forever. Right? Bahamians need to begin stepping up to the plate and not relying on their proximity to the political class for resolution to their ventures, their deals, their agendas. We have to get serious. If you think that sort of thing is happening in the country, you need to organize human resource and financial resource to fund an organization that can collect the data that it is you need to present an argument to the courts. That's what grown people do. We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to get back into this article. Quote.
You know it's 11 o'clock, right?
When we get back from this break, I'm going to pretend like Mr. C.A. Newry is not here. And we're going to carry on with Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry on this Wednesday Man Down mashup session. You've been on the clock. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.